There's your sign. All right. Well, I just want to thank the church again. This is, of course, going on my ninth year here as student minister. This is my eighth disciple now with these students. Well, not with these students, with several that are college and getting married, and makes me feel really old. But it's always a task for getting disciple now together. Thankfully, I work with several youth pastors from the area. Of course, we partner normally with the same core, but we had one extra this year. We partnered with Colola Springs, Border Springs, East End, New Salem, and then this year, Starkville Community. Starkville Community, their youth pastor grew up at Border Springs, Tyler Brown. I don't know if any of y'all know him. So that's just kind of cool seeing kids that were in D-Nows years ago and now they're youth pastors and stuff like that. It's amazing. So tonight I'm just going to give you a little breakdown of what went on, and then I'm going to turn it over to several of our college, well, small group leaders. That's better now because they're not in college anymore, except for Sarah. And then I'll let some of the students speak, and then I'll come back up at the very end and kind of give you a breakdown of what our teaching looked like with the students. So this year, our speaker, our theme was 2020, Seeing the Gospel Clearly. Majority of the kids that are involved in Disciple Now are raised in church, and so they've heard all the VBS lessons about the gospel. They've heard preaching on Sunday morning and Wednesday. So for majority of them, it's not new. And so we try to think of themes that are going to give them a little more biblical knowledge, but on really how to exercise that, how to, you know, allow that to be a part of their everyday life. And so that was our theme this year. A good friend of mine that I served with when I was in Philadelphia, Mississippi, Aaron Tucker, he's now at Wendell Baptist. He has spoke for the M4 camps that we take our kids to in Vosburg, but he's the youth and family pastor there at Wendell. He's been there for a while. And then we had Jonathan Turner. He works for Fuge Camps. He goes around every summer and works, does their worship. And so that I think we had a pretty solid leadership team this year. Of course, with our small group leaders, Bubba Brower, this is, I think, his third year helping. Zach, I'll let them tell the numbers because I'll mess that up. Zach's been helping me for years. Chandler and Savannah Lester, they helped again this year. Sarah Upchurch, and then Brooke. One of the great things for me as a youth pastor that I see that I have and a lot of the other churches don't have is I have kids that were in the youth group here that are helping now as small group leaders. And so that's not always the case, but for the last couple of years that's happened until they get married and have kids and tell me no, and then I'm going to have to just, you know, continue to pull from others. So, but that's been a blessing of mine. I can trust them. The host homes this year, Missy and Jonathan, they had the high school boys, which I was okay with them because Zach was there and that's where he grew up for the most part. The Farlows, Paul and Selena, they helped us out this year and hosted. Oh, y'all got to get up and speak too. No, just I wouldn't do that to you on the fly. But the Farlows, they helped out. They had the junior high boys, which they're used to having a good bit of kids there, not that many, but I think that went well. And then, of course, Anita, where is she at? How many years have you helped out with hosting for me? Is it about six? Yeah, so probably six or so, but we put all the girls with her this year, which was interesting. And then during the day on Saturday, Friday night, we had worship, and then we had breakout sessions, and I think some of them will talk about that, and then I'll try to finish up at the end, but we had breakout sessions, and then after that, they went to their host homes, and they ate, and they did Q&A, where they pretty much had like a forum where they talked about what they went over that night. And then that morning they woke up, they had breakouts again, which is just like a discipleship training class, I guess you could say. And then we went to the Crackers, Mickey and Lee. So, of course, if you read the bulletin today, there's a little note in there, Lee and Mickey thanking us for what we've done. We've been helping them out for years when we can. And that's always a blessing going over there. I think we had like an hour worth of work, and we stayed over there for just, 2.5 hours just hanging out. So that was always fun. We had no issues. I've had a couple people ask, was there any problems, any issues? And not that I know of yet. So, and it's a week, past. But I'm going to turn it over to Zach and Bubba, and then the teenagers will come up, and then Sarah will get up, and then I'll come up afterwards.
You know me, this is, I think, my fourth D now, because I've been doing it ever since I did start college. So it's been about 4 years now. This is my fourth D now. And one great thing about being a youth leader is you kind of get to see where the kids are, because for most of these kids, I've known them since I was in youth, and they were not in youth. So it's kind of cool to see where they are in life and kind of what they think. One cool thing about the small groups that we do is we get to ask them questions, and it's based on biblical things. And so it's really interesting to see where their biblical maturity is, but also where their spiritual maturity is. I guess that may be the same thing. But it's really interesting because some of these kids have a very unique point of view. They've been through life experiences like the rest of us. So if you ever get a chance, talk to some of these kids and ask them kind of what's going on. See where they are in life, because it may surprise you how mature some of these kids are. It's kind of what I enjoy, just talking to them, getting to know them.
Hey, I'm Bubba Brower, or Nate now. This is my third D now. Me and Chandler had the junior highs, so they're 12 and 13. We stay at the Farlows. Our first night there, they had loads of candy and sweets, so you can imagine how that night went. I did threaten them with my zip cuffs, so they got out of hand, so they mind their manners. But me and Chandler knew how Dean Al's used to be when we had our small groups when we were 12 and 13. So we try to keep our small groups kind of short. But they did pay attention, and they were active, so I loved it. So if you ever need me, I'm here.
This is probably going to be my third D-Now year. It's always nice being able to talk to some of the guys in the youth group. Our speaker, Aaron, was a really good guy. Like I said, Brad said, our theme was 2020, being able to see the Bible clearly. And got to admit, I really don't read the Bible as often as I want to, but when I do, I'm usually confused. And it helped me out a lot.
This is my first D now. Sorry, my bad. This is my first D now, and so. Oh, it's my second D now. Yeah, this is my second D now, and so it's kind of different from last year because I don't know. We had Paul this time, and we got lots of stuff to do at nighttime and stuff, but my favorite thing was Bible studies, because we all got around, and the first night we told our names and something that we like, and so it kind of like let us get to know each other well, and we had a lot of college leaders, so felt like it was easier to go up to somebody and ask them for help.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I was one of the girls' leaders. Savannah and Brooke were also there. It was really interesting having all of the girls together this year. I really got to know some of the middle schoolers a lot better. On Wednesday nights when I'm here, Zach and I help out Brad with the high schoolers. So I've gotten to know a lot of the high schoolers really well. but I really enjoyed the opportunity to get to know all of the middle schoolers. And one thing that I love about DNOW is the small group sessions. You really get to pour into these youth, you know, and you get to tell them, you know, that they're loved and that they're listened to, and you can really try to teach them and, you know, bring them up, you know, and it makes you really proud of them. Like, you can watch them from year to year and watch how they grow in their faith. It makes you just really, really proud of them. And the smaller groups are amazing to help, you know, help the girls tell you more. You know, they'll come out more, and, you know, you really get to know each other very well over the weekend. And I love it. And this is my second DNOW with weekend, or second DNOW weekend with Woodland. And I plan on doing it just more and more.
This is my seventh DNOW, which makes me feel kind of old because all of them are 2 and 3 years into it. But one thing that was unique, and this is my last time doing a DNOW as a student, and so I really like the fact that we were combined this year because it gave me a different take on my relationship with the middle school girls as well as my fellow high school girls. And I think that the message of seeing the gospel clearly, I was able to see my relationships with them clearly and how it was going to change moving forward, and how blessed I was to have these sisters in my life. And thank you, Miss Anita, for dealing with all of us, because we're a rowdy bunch. Yeah.
So my favorite thing was worship. It was a lot different this year. I felt like I got a better connection this year with worship. I don't know if it had to do with the fact with his age, but it was still modern music as it always is. But, yeah, he got a good choice of songs this year. But, yeah, I just felt I had a better connection this year than the other DNOW. So.
This is my third DNOW, and this year we had the high schoolers with us, and I just felt way more connected with them than the past 2 years. And I don't know, this year just hit different, and I really liked it a lot. And
this is my second DNOW. Okay, and gosh, it's scary, but my favorite part was probably the service. Where Aaron Tucker was preaching, and and he was funny, but he actually was real most of the time, so I got a lot out of it, and that was my favorite part about DNOW.
Well, adults, I don't know if you remember being that age, but it's tough getting in front of people and talking, you know, because they're so used to the thumb exercises and stuff that they got. But no, I enjoy it, working with teenagers. Sarah mentioned on Wednesday nights we started this past fall. We all come in together. We play a game together, the youth. We do a game, we do worship, and then Zach and Sarah, they've been pouring into the high school kids and giving me an opportunity to pour into the junior high kids. I tried to give them the junior high kids, but, you know, I think they do well. The Lord worked it out how it was supposed to be. So it's just great. Of course, we know scripture say that, you know, parents, they're the primary disciple of their kids. I mean, as parents, we are. We're with our kids more than any pastor, youth pastor, Sunday school. And so, but being able to come alongside parents and just kind of pour into and learn how to do that better too, as well. It's just a blessing, but also a great challenge and journey that I love being on. So I'm going to take you through our teaching time. Now, let me back up. If you've ever heard of DNOW before, over the last couple of years, we've been doing a tad different. The way that Disciple Now would work out was that all whatever groups were involved, youth groups were involved, they would all meet at one place. We would do worship. We would have one theme. And then after worship, there would be the preacher, the DNOW speaker. He would get up and he would preach on whatever the theme is or whatever curriculum that we had laid out for them. And then afterwards, students would go immediately to their host homes where the college leaders or small group adults would basically teach a lesson. So that kind of gave a little gap. Over the last 2 years, we've done it a little different. And so the way we did it this time was after Aaron got done speaking, we had worship, and then Aaron, he preached on the theme of seeing the gospel clearly. Angie Harper from New Salem, the youth leader there, she had colored bands, so when the kids checked in, all the youth leaders were breakout speakers, so the kids, I would be red and all the kids with red bands on, so they're all mixed up. So I don't know who it was mentioned they enjoyed the breakout. So it was my son, Jonah. And it was pretty much, it was just a large Sunday school room over at New Salem. I guess I should be reading notes, but at New Salem, where did New Hope come from? But at New Salem. And so it's this little room, but we had like 35 kids in there that we had to teach. And so Aaron spoke, and then they came into us. And so I'm going to share with you just a little bit what we talked about. And, of course, the theme again, 2020, seeing the gospel clearly. Majority of us know what the gospel is. I love Greg Steer. He's a youth trainer. Years ago, he broke it down as the gospel, God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. And we went through that as a youth group years ago. But just trying to teach these kids how they need to have application in this. It's not just about getting intellectual knowledge. And it doesn't matter how many times you punch your card coming in and out. It depends on how you're living your life, being salt and being light. And that's the fruit of pretty much fruit of your salvation. So the first breakout was, now I'm going to read these themes off to you, and then I'll go through them. So the first breakout was chosen by Christ. That's Ephesians 1 through 14. And of course, you know, it's kind of cool because Kevin walked us through majority of that several months back. And then the second breakout, which was the second one, was Saturday morning, was Ephesians 2:1-9, and that is cleansed by sacrifice. So you have chosen by God, cleansed by sacrifice. And then the third breakout, which was Saturday night, was crucified to the world. And of course, the passage there was Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And then breakout 4 we didn't get to, but it was created to work. And so I'm going to work that into our Wednesday nights. But so let's go through. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be turning to some places so we can use this as our teaching time. What time should I end, Kevin? About 6:50? Okay. And I'm not going, because these are like 3 30-minute sessions, so I'm just going to give you the points, okay? All right. So don't worry about turning to Ephesians, okay? But I do have some other shorter passages that I can do, okay? All right, so the first breakout, chosen by Christ, we pretty much talked about, there were two truths that we were sharing with teenagers. Once they got these truths from us, that's when they went back later on that night to their small group leaders, and they talked in detail about it. So the two truths that each youth pastor shared with their group was, number one, that we are chosen by Christ. That's found in Ephesians 1. But we are also adopted into his family. And pretty much what we tried to lay out to the students is before God created anything, he had in mind that he was going to send his son to die on the cross for the redemption of us. And so so we talked about that into detail, about being chosen, but also being adopted into his family. The second session, one thing that I shared, and I thought of the Zellners when I shared this, going back to the adopted by him, that the adoption part I share with the teenagers is pretty much like, and I shared the Zellners, if they went to adopt a child. Well, once they went there to adopt the child, they didn't just get on a plane, just go, and the kid said, pick me, you know. It was pretty much worked out through an organization with them, but the way that God does it, it's not necessarily that we do the choosing, but God does that, and it's a mystery. And I don't want to get into a big discussion about that, but it's just cool that God knows exactly what he's doing, why he's doing it, how he's doing it. Breakout number two, cleanse through sacrifice. This is the part of what he planned, what he predetermined long time ago, that he was going to send his son, cleanse through a sacrifice. That passage is Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And this, instead of, this had two questions, and the two questions were, why did Jesus die, have to die? And the second question was, how do we receive this cleansing? And so that pretty much, we walked them through Romans 5:12 that says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. I asked this one question. I stumped some of the kids and I felt smart, but then I was like, are you serious? You didn't really doing that? But I asked the kids in two of my breakouts, who were the first people ever born? And how many of you think they said Adam and Eve? Bunch of them. And so I got to explain that they were created by God. But everybody, you had Cain, you had Abel, you had Seth. Everybody that was ever born was born with a sin problem. I share with my class that, you know, no one had to teach you how to be bad. That's just a part of who we are. We're part of the broken world that we live in. Everything here is broken, you know, that in the worldly sense. And so we needed that cleansing. So Jesus died. He died for us because there was that sin problem. And how do we receive the cleansing? We walked them through Ephesians 1:13 that says, in him you also heard the word of God, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him. You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then I know a passage that's familiar to most in here, Romans 10:9, that says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we broke that down. We made sure that they understood that this was not a work salvation thing, that you don't do enough good things to be saved, that God had it all laid out. And it's not just an intellectual thing where you know enough. But it's about, you know, Peter said, repent and turn from your sins. And it's about submission and it's about surrender. And so we walked them through that. And then breakout number three, crucified to the world. This is where now that you have been changed, you've been reborn. As John talks about, John 3:16, you've been reborn. Now there's a new way of living. So we walk them through Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life now that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And in this breakout, the two truths were Christianity involves a death and Christianity involves a new life. So basically, through the salvation process, there is a death. Of course, that was Jesus' ultimate death. But as Christians, daily, this is not just for teenagers. This is for us all, for me especially. I think about this as daily, the scripture says that we're to deny ourselves. Daily, we are to take up our cross. Daily, we are to follow him. It's not just a one and done. It's a process that we... a process of sanctification where we're becoming more like Jesus, but we're a part of that process. And so we walked them through that. Of course, that involves the daily dying, but then we talked about the new life. The new life, the passage, let's see, which one do I want to use? Oh, yes, Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 says, "Since you have heard about Jesus, have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." So we talked about putting off, and we talked about putting on. So off, taking off the old attitudes, the values, the actions. Those things should be gone. They should be dead, because that's a part of our old nature and not our new nature. And then a part of the new nature, putting on the new garment, is us growing in our relationship with Christ, fighting the battle that comes at us daily, understanding, regardless of how dark it gets, that there is light, regardless of how hard it is, you know, it's worth it. And that's really what I, you know, try to share with teenagers all the time, that especially mine at home, is there's going to be times that that things happen, you don't understand why it happens, but it's just part of the process. You know, going back to one of my favorite passages, James says, "Count it all joy when you go through various trials," knowing that there's a purpose, there's a plan that God has in store for that. And so the last session that we didn't get to, but we talk about this a lot, is created to work. And, you know, we're not saved by our works, but because we are saved, there is work to be done. Colossians, Paul said in Colossians that, you know, we were created by God, but we were also created for God. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And so just continue to pray for Christians around the world, but especially the younger generations, that they, I mean, we all battle with things, but sometimes it seems like they're a little more, they give in to certain thoughts and ideas, not our group, but just the younger generation in general. And so we need to continue to pray, we need to continue to pour, we need to continue to encourage and disciple younger generations. But I'd say this in closing, parents, we are the ultimate disciplers of our home. And so I pray for you daily if you don't know it. And because I need prayer, and so I'm praying, hoping somebody's praying for me and Susan as we raise ours. But it's fun. I enjoy it, and I thank y'all so much for the support, supporting me for these many years. And that's it. Any questions? Kevin, you ready for us? All right. We're about to break out in revival now. So we're about to break out in revival. Okay.
I want to thank the church family. I want to thank the church family for your support of this vital ministry. It's not easy to get up here and talk, is it? But it's tough. And, you know, I don't want you to answer, but what was the purpose of last weekend? You know, what was it really all about? And that's something the church, we need to consider. What are these kinds of things all about? I'll ask anybody, what did you have for supper last Sunday night? You probably don't remember, right? But I can tell you, each and every one of us probably had supper. And that supper was good for our growth. It was needful for our energy. It was needful for us to flourish. And that's part of what these things are about. It's something you may not remember day to day, week to week, moments and moments in your life that are carrying you and pushing you on forward in your walk with Christ. But you know from week to week, month to month, that those things are happening in your walk with Christ. It's the same way of coming every Sunday and being fed by the Word. or the day-by-day Bible reading and those things that you do as we walk in the Lord. So I'm not necessarily looking for some great, big, grand, wow, everybody's just blown off of their feet. In fact, sometimes I kind of get worried about those kind of things, to be honest with you. But these are just another, this is just another step in the walk of being a disciple of Jesus Christ that builds us up, that edifies us, and nourishes us, and moves us on farther in our walk with Christ. And that's why we put the time, the effort, the energy, and the resources into something like this. And generally speaking, after the weekend, after you spent a couple of nights in maybe a crowded home with a bunch of other folks, you get to know each other better. It creates a unity. It creates a family. So we are thankful. I'm thankful for Brad's leadership in this. And I will also say this. I want to be careful how I say it. Some youth programs are all flash and no substance. And I do thank the Lord, and I am confident that week in and week out, our students are being fed by the Word of God and being pushed and propelled in that way. I thank the Lord for that. We're going to have a time of fellowship in the back with some hot chocolate and some snacks. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? And we're going to enjoy just a time of fellowship with that. But why don't you let's show our appreciation to these youth leading us tonight, Brad, for what he did over the last week, and the leaders and everything. Let's just give them a thank offering to the Lord for their work in that. So God bless you. And like I said, I'll just pray, we'll close out, and we'll go to the back, and we'll enjoy a time of fellowship together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for these young people that are here, these disciples of Christ. Lord, I pray that they would grow in their knowledge of who you are, not for knowledge's sake, but, Lord, to be more Christ-like in their walk, to be a better witness for you in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them where they are in their unique sphere of influence, their walk in this world, that those around them would see that they know you. And so, Lord, just bless them. And God, bless this time of fellowship that we have together, Father, and may you be pleased in all. In Jesus' name.